This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Ma'abayim. We have Mamish, an amazing topic today. It's not long, but the Hashgacha is really uncanny. You can't, you know, what would you say would be the perfect Eon Shira to have on a blot of Ksubas this week? You say, what do you mean? A Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos. Okay, that we know. We all would have guessed that. The question is, how can it connect to this page? Okay, you'll see it fits like a glove. Let's review. But for this, we're going to have to review something on Nun Beis and on Nun Aleph. The Gemara says, the Gemara has the following question. There's a takan of the Chachamim called Ksubas Benin Dichrin. What's Ksubas Benin Dichrin? Ksubas Benin Dichrin is that if a man has two wives, he gave each one a ksuba. Let's say he gave one 800 zuz and the other one 1,000 zuz. And this woman came in with a dowry of 1,000,000 goats. The other one brought in 500 goats. And they both die. So he inherits both of them. When he dies, technically, his children should inherit his whole estate, including both ksubas, equally. But the Chachamim were afraid that if a father who's going to make his daughter desirable for marriage is going to give his daughter a dowry, and then if her daughter would die and the husband would inherit it, and then kids from a different marriage would inherit that, a father might be reluctant to give a big dowry. So in order to encourage big dowries, the Chachamim made a takana of Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Namely, that ultimately, if the woman dies and then the husband dies, the children that she had from her marriage with that guy will inherit her Ksuba. That's called Ksubas Benin Dichrin, and the motivation is Kedei Sheyachbaitz Adam Yichtav Labita Kibnai. The Gemara had a kasha on that, because let's think about what's taking place over here. The Gemara's kasha is, wait a second, this father who's giving his daughter a dowry, he has a lot of money, he has a lot of assets, he has resources, he has properties. Should he die, who's going to inherit it? His sons. But now by writing it to his daughter, he's basically taking possessions away from his son and giving it to his daughter. So the Gemara had a kasha, mi ika midi, is there something that the Torah says a son inherits and the daughter doesn't inherit? And the Chachamim come along and they make a takana that the daughter should inherit? So this question troubled me. What do you mean? The rabbis are not saying that even though the Torah says the son inherits and not the daughter, the rabbis are not saying the daughter inherits. The rabbis are just encouraging the father to give their daughter bigger presents so that people should want to marry them. They're not taking away Yerusha. The father's alive. What do you mean? Is there something that the Torah says the boys inherit and now the Torah is saying, no, the girl inherits? But apparently, since ultimately, if one day he dies, the boys are supposed to get all his money, if the Chachamim are going to be misaking something that the guy is giving money to his daughters, it's going to come out that, you know, in the end of the day, instead of his sons ultimately inheriting this, the daughters are. But realize that it's not like the Chachamim are taking anything away from a Yerusha. It's an ultimate, it's an eventual Yerusha. From here we see, Rabbi Isai, a very important principle. And that is, if there's no precedent in the Chumash, the rabbis are severely limited in any legislation. Even though, this is not like the Torah says, you're not allowed to give a gift to your daughter. What's the Gemara's kasha? Does the Torah say you're not allowed to give a gift to your daughter? The Torah says whatever is left when you die goes to your sons, not your daughters. So what's the problem? You're now giving the gift while you're alive. But since eventually, if you die, that property would have gone to your sons, if there's no precedent in the Chumash, then we can't legislate that you should give the property to your daughters. And the Gemara says, in fact, there is precedent in the Navi Yirmiyah, where it sounds like you have to do whatever you can to marry off your daughter. And what could that mean other than giving her money? Fine, that's the first thing I want to point out from this Gemara. The next Yisoid. The Gemara has various questions about Ksubas Benin Dichrin, that why don't girls inherit? The Gemara says it's like Yerusha. Why do you only inherit from Meshubadim? Because it's like, right? The Gemara asks, why don't girls inherit? It's like Yerusha. Why don't you inherit? Why doesn't it go to Metaltalin? It's like a Ksuba. Why don't you collect from a Shubadim? No, because it's like Yerusha also. And then the Gemara asks the question, why does the din of Ksubas Benin Dichrin only apply if after the children of both respective wives divide, there's still a dinar left for them to split? Right? There has to be Moisar dinar. If there's no Moisar dinar, then we don't apply the takana of Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Why do you need Moisar dinar? Says the Gemara, because if there's no Moisar dinar, we're being oiker Yerusha d'Oraisa. Because the guy died. He lives over, besides the Ksuba, if he doesn't leave anything over, then you're not being Mekayim, the din d'Oraisa that Yerusha is divided equally. So the Chachamim seem to be limited. This is another limitation of the Chachamim. Not only are they limited, that if we don't have a precedent that you could give gifts to your daughter, you won't be allowed to, but in a situation where the only thing that's being inherited is the ksuba, we don't apply the takana of ksubas benin dichrin, because you cannot be oiker Yerusha d'Oraisa. So from this Gemara we learn two principles. That when the Chachamim legislate, number one, there must be precedence in the Torah. Number two, they cannot be oiker. They cannot be oiker concepts completely. They can only be oiker if, to a certain extent, there's still a remnant of the din d'Oraisa. Now, to me, this sounds very, very similar to what is known as Hataz Hayadua, the well-known Taz. We actually once spoke about it on a Wednesday night, and it was a Taz that I became so excited about. And then I saw Rav David Cohen of Coney Island Avenue wrote an entire sefer on this Taz. The name of the sefer is Hataz Hayadua. It was even out of print, and he sent me, I called him up, Rabbi Pesach Kron was there, he answered the phone, he explained to Rabbi David Cohen what I was looking for, and he sent it in a vehicle, and he sent me extra to give out at the shir. The Taz talks about this principle three times in Shulchan Aruch, and this Gemara seems to be a riot to the Taz, and we're going to see right now. Here we go. And you're going to see this has, if you want to know what this has to do with Rosh Hashanah, it could not have anything more to do with Rosh Hashanah. The halacha is we don't blow shofar this coming Shabbos. Shabbos is going to come, and we're not going to hear the shofar. Why? Takana de Rabba. Mishum Shema Yitlenu Biyadai Leilech Eitzel Baki. Because we're afraid you might take it to a Baki. Takana de Rabba. You might take it in your hand to ask a Baki, Lomoy, to teach you how to do it. Viyabi Reno Dalad Amos Vishasaram. There's a famous kasha on this. The kasha of the Mizrahi. Rabbi Elio Mizrahi, the foremost commentary on Rashi. The Hiksha HaMizrahi, this is the Taz Arachayim Simen Tav Kuf Pei Ches. By the way, Hilchai Shofar is in Tav Kuf Pei Vav. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, Gematria Shofar. He asked, B'yom Tav Nami Nigzar Shema Yisakein Kleishir. Stam! It should always be prohibited to blow Shofar on Yom Tav, because you're not to play a musical instrument on Yom Tov because you might come to fix it. So why don't we say, if we're willing to forgo the mitzvah d'Oraisa of Shofar, because Shema Yavirena Dal Amos, then we should always forgo the mitzvah of Shofar, because Shema Yisakin Klishir. This is the famous kasha of the Mizrahi. V'herich b'zeh, the Mizrahi speaks at length, Ula b'soif le teretz klum. The Mizrahi doesn't give an answer. Says the Taz, L'anias daiti de kol ha shofar lo nitein l'shir elalot kui shal mitzvah. since shofar is not a musical instrument, but is for a mitzvah, then it never comes under the category of musical instruments. The rabbis only legislated on musical instruments. The rabbis never said, you're not allowed to ride a bike on Yom Tov, I don't think. You know, I'm not saying you're allowed to. I don't think you should. Children should not be allowed to. But let's say, the rabbis never said that you can't use, you know, those toothpicks with the string? It looks like a little harp. I don't think, maybe you're not allowed to because it might cause you to bleed. But there's no isser of handling that on Shabbos because, oh, it looks like a harp, so you might fix it. The answer is they only asked for musical instruments. They didn't ask for strings. They didn't ask for tubes, right? You know the paper towel thing? When you're finished with the paper towel, I don't know if that thing is muksa. Maybe it's muksa for a different reason. But what do you mean it's a tube? The rabbis didn't ask for tubes. They asked for musical instruments. Shofar is not a musical instrument. Al kein loy gazru. That's the first answer of the Taz. We're going to focus on the second answer. The famous second answer of the Taz is va'oid nir li latarets. De'ein lohem ligzar v'lakar legamrei dvar Torah shetzivsa letkoya b'yom zeh. The rabbis cannot outright uproot a mitzvah in the Torah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to blow shofar. So if you're going to make a gzera, shama yisak in klishir, then we would never blow the shofar. But the Torah says blow the shofar. The rabbis will see either they can't or they don't want to confront the Torah head on. The Torah says do something. The rabbis can't say no, we're going to be oikrit lagamri. I think it's very parallel to what we just saw in the Gemara, that even though there's a takana benin dichrin, but not if you're being oiker Yerusha Lagamri. There has to be Moisar Dinar. If there's not Moisar Dinar, then this is a violation of the Taz. This would also answer the famous Kasha Laran. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, Shema Yaver and Daud Amos. Why are you allowed to do Mila on Shabbos? You might carry the knife, you might carry the baby. Yeah? So some answer, well, Mila is Chal on the Bezdin. We're not Goyzer on the Bezdin. V'tirets, V'loi gazunan, Shema Yaver Atim Daun Azur Shiz Rabim. Says the Taz HaYadua, L'fimashu Kosafti Nicha. There's an explicit pasuk in the Torah that you do Mila on Shabbos. What is that? Uvayoyim Hashmini Yimo Basara Lasai. We already know you do Mila on Shabbos. You already know there's a mitzvah Mila. Why does the Torah reiterate? Uvayoyim Hashmini Yimo Basara Lasai. It's a special drasha that teaches you do Mila on Shabbos. So Loi Ratzu Lakar Dvar Torah Beferush. The Chachamim, you see, look carefully. Not that they're not able to. They don't want to be oiker dvar Torah. Altzegzera. So we have two illustrations of this. The Chachamim could say, don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, because there's no explicit pasuk that says you blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. It just says you blow shofar Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. So the rabbis will come along and say, don't do it on Shabbos. But to make a gzera shama yisak in kleishir, they'll be being oiker the gzera Lagamri, completely, under all circumstances. So that they don't want to do. And that's the reason why we don't make a gzera of Mila on Shabbos, because there's an explicit pasuk of Yom Hashmini Yimal Basar Alasai. By the way, the Taz reiterates this chiddush in Chosh Mishpat Siman Beis, as well as in Yeradeya Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, by having Hanah from Chelev. I want to bring to your attention that the Shal Shetshuvas Heichal Yitzchak, Rav Isaac Halevi Herzog, who has a very interesting chakira, is the pshat, Yesh lanu la'ayin be'etzem haklal shel hataz, im hakavona shebedover ha'mefurash b'toyer laheter, ein koyach b'yad chachamim la'asar? Is it that the chamim don't have the ability to? Ela sheyesh lamakach, or they do, ela sheim gadru la'atzmam, they confine themselves, kidei shaloi lasais makam letzedukim laradois, because otherwise the hamoinam will rebel. They're going to think the rabbis are out of control. So is it that they were not empowered, or they choose not to? And he says the latter. He says they choose not to. Now this is what I was getting at. Now let's go back to Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And you're going to see Akasha Atsuma on the Taz. And I'm very happy today. What?
What about Lulav and Estrig? Lulav and Estrig on the first day is Zayrai, so the rest of these are Derabbanan.
So Rabbi Asi is asking, have a lulav and esrog, the first day da'iraisa. Yeah, all 7 days are da'iraisa b'mikdash. B'mikdash, all 7 days are da'iraisa. So there's still, you're not being oiker legamri. Okay? In America, that's why, many gedolim were makbid to go to the Kaisal Hamaravi, all 7 days of Sukkot, with a lulav to mekayim lulav da'iraisa. And it could be it's an inyan. It's a taka. Many people go for birchas kaihanim. Perhaps more important is to go for lulav. You hear? Okay. Now we're coming to the question of the century. This is one of the most lamdasha kashas you'll ever hear. I'm upset. I almost had it. I when we were learning the Gemara, I didn't crystallize it. Actually, I was talking to my friend John Talansky. He told me Rabbi Kiv Eiger quotes it from the Taz, almost. I mean, he quotes the Shar HaMelech who asked this question on the Taz. That it's a kasha on the Taz. I want to share with you that I'm very happy because this all-time great Lamda Shakasha, I want to tell you who asks it and hits the nail on the head, better than I've seen in any Sefer, the Chida. This Gevaldige Lomdische Kasha that Rabbi Kiva Eger cites is the Kasha the Chida. Okay, you ready? And he asks it in his Sefer on Halacha, Berke Yosef. Avu HaDeshmuel, remember Avu HaDeshmuel? And Afnon Alephim Abeis, Avu HaDeshmuel says, if a woman is raped, she's asur to her husband. Why? But she's ulanar leisasa davar. It says v'hin leinispasa. She wasn't forced. That implies if she's forced, she's permitted. No, Avu Adishmo says we're afraid she started off being raped, and once she got into it, she did a baratzin. Okay, you hear this? Avu Adishmo says that a woman who's raped is usher to her husband. Comes Toisus. Please look at Toisus non alafama base. Is this din da'iraisa or da'rabanan? This chshash of Avu Adish, bottom toises, non alpha mabez. This chshash of Shmuel, that we're afraid that maybe she did barat sign. So toises says, what do you mean? It says chayshinan. We're worried. That implies da'rabanan. Says toises, it has to be da'iraisa. Why? Because if it was only a din da'rabanan, we're going to make a woman leave her husband because of a chshash d'rabbanan? The rabbis would never do such a thing. The rabbis would never, for a chshash d'rabbanan, take a woman away from her husband. Says Toisus, so therefore it has to be d'iraisa. Okay? And since it's a raisa, therefore she's also to her husband. Question. The Gemara asks, according to Avu HaDeshmuel, but the Torah says that Oynes is mutter to her husband. To which the Gemara answers, it's talking about where she was screaming the whole time. Question. What's Toisus' question? Oynish de Shari Rachmani Hechemishkachasla? Let's clarify Toisus' question. Toisus asks, what do you mean, how do you have a case of Oynish? But it's, right, the Gemara asks, according to Avu HaDeshmuel, how do you have Oynish de Shari Rachmani Hechemishkachasla? Frag Toisus, what's the problem? It's only Aser Midrabanan! Taisa says, no, it has to be Dairaisa. Because if we're taking her away from her husband, that has to be Dairaisa. But Taisa says, Mashma, if it would have been a Gzera Darabanan, then we have an answer to the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara wants to know, how do you have a woman who's nenas and permitted to her husband? The answer is, midairaisa, she's permitted, and the rabbis answered it. That means Tosfos is willing to entertain the possibility that even though the Torah says a woman who's raped is mutter to her husband, the rabbis answered it. Says the Chidah, it's a raya against the Taz. Tosfos has a kasha. Tosfos' kasha is, what do you mean? What do you mean? Maybe Avu Dishmol is a Dinder Rabbanon. Says the Chidah from Taisus, we see he doesn't hold like the Taz. But what do you mean it's a Drabbanon? The rabbis cannot come along and say that if the Torah says a woman who's raped is permitted to her husband, the rabbis can't come along and say she's usher. We see from Taisus they could. It's a raya against the Taz. Whose kasha is this? The Chidah, it's really earlier, the Shar HaMelech.
Between Kiddushin and everything else. Kiddushin is Al Kiddas Moshe V'Yisrael. We've had this concept that the Chacham have the ability to uproot a Kiddushin because you're marrying Kiddas Moshe V'Yisrael as opposed to...
No, but right now, the Torah says that if a woman is raped, you're allowed to stay married to her. Tosfos seems like he would say, it's okay for the Chachamim to say, you're not allowed to stay married to her. So we're on that part of it. So it's not going to help to say, they're Oikar the Kedushin. But why is this woman not allowed to stay married to her husband if the Torah says she is allowed to stay married to her husband?
Usually Dairaisa to the Chachamim try not to be Oikar, but by Kedushin, Bedavkin Kedushin, they have the authority to do it because the Kedushin is Kedas Moshe Yisrael.
They won't do it every single time. They only do it in certain scenarios, not in a case where she's technically supposed to be mutter midoraisa.
No, the rabbis wouldn't do it in this. In this case, the fact that they're allowed to tamper with the kedushin does not create an isser for her. Does not enable them to say, the Torah says she could stay in the house. Why are the rabbis what are the rabbis kicking around? Because they uprooted the kedushin. That doesn't make her usser to him. Even with their ability to be oikar the Kedushin, but we're not on the Kedushin step. We're on, could the lady stay in the house with him? So how could the Chachamim answer it? Look at the Kasha, the Chidah inside. It says, Ulefum riatak tzas kasha mehada amina b'ksubis amar shmuel eishas ish shenensa asur labala chayshinon shemat chilasa v'oynes v'sayfer ratzen uparech. The Gemara asks, "Oynus the Shar Rachman Hech Mishkachasa v'Kasu Atoysus." Af Agav the Chayshinon Ka'amar. It's only Drabanon. Mashalei Dimedaraisa Dimedrabanon Lehav Moitzinos Meibala. But from Toysus, it's Mashma that Toysus is willing to answer the Gemara by saying that you know how even though the Torah says she's mutter, she's aser, she's only aser Midrabanon. Only because of the reason that the rabbis will not take her away, because of that, mukhruch, it has to be dimidairaisa asar. Ha ihav gzeres chachamim, but if it would only be rabbinic, kroy vel adas, it's reasonable, she yigzur af midairaisa sharia, that they would ask her, even though midairaisa is permitted, beferush, dechsiv, vihiloi nispasa. It says she wasn't forced, but if she was forced, she's permitted. Matzinu lemeimar drabanan gazer vasrua v'su leka lemifrach oynis sharach manech mishkachas da gam duloy mishkachas lo yichbalan v'ze hepach klal harav taz. Now, Rabasi asked, what about lulav? So I was madcha the question, because you're not pushing off lulav completely, because lulav is still daraisa 7 days. But the Chida has another question. Because if you look in the Medrash on Parshas Emar, the Medrash darshins ulakachtem lachem b'yom arishayin b'yom afilu b'shabbos. According to that, there is an explicit pasuk.
Like Brismila.
Right, like Brismila. Another pashtos of v'yom arishayin ulakachtem b'yom arishayin is b'medina. But there is a medrash, not in the Gemara, a medrash. Now it happens to be regarding this whole Taz. There's a famous chakira of the Prima Gadim. In the Psicha Koileles, where the Prima Gadim wants to know, v'yesh ayin b'davar haba mi medrash chazal oy halacha l'moshe mi sinai v'yud gimel midos yesh koyach b'yad chachamim lasar. In other words, this din of the Taz, is it only if the Torah says explicitly, or what if we learn it from a drasha? Now, according to Rav Herzog, it's an interesting chakira, because if the reason is, Rabbi Isai, that it's not that the Chum don't have the power, they don't want to because of the tzedoikim, but if the whole din comes from a gzera, you'd give a midrash and rush to them that the tzedokim never agreed to in the first place, maybe they would. The bottom line is, it's really amazing, from our sugya and ksubis, you see akasha on the Taz. I want to show you in the Shar HaMelech, one of the reasons I picked the Chida is, you know, I love the Chida, but also the Shar HaMelech is very hard to read. He brings, I'll read to you here, Me'ahi Degar Sinan Perek Narosh in Espatata. Daf nun hey, should say nun beis, nun aleph am beis. Amar avu de shmol isha sisrael shenensa asur labayla, shemet chilas vanas v'shoifa baratzayin. V'kos v'atoises de chayshina de medai raisa kamar, basar hachi. Ulavu de shmol einis de shar rachman heichem mishkachasa, v'hashal adas rabbeinu zal. Umay parach begamar einish arachmanich moshachas lahechi parach kivan de beferosh yitiru medaraisa inlam kachacham lasar kamashikazav haturei zahav simin kuf yod zayin. By the way, I want to just show you in the Rishonim already. Do I have it here? Yeah. The Chiddush of the Taz, the Meiri already said in Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Look over here, number 7. Yesh metarzim shalula v'shar from Megillah never aleim beferush shir nasim shavsa shutz min adin mitzad sheinam malacha ve'achaz yesh v'mchshas malacha dinu sheyirchu avo mila lehedyo hutcha b'shabbos v'loy hichmiru bekula haksuva lehedya. Other Achronim say maybe they were afraid it wouldn't be Niskabel. We discussed the Taz Hayadua in the following context. Just remind you, the Chachamim came along and they asked Pasakum. What did I do? Yeah. The question is, how could they ask Pasakum? The Pasuk says, Al Devara Shaloi Kidmo Eschem Balechem Uvamayim. That Amon Amayim should have brought you bread. So that means the Torah is saying the bread of Goyim is Mutter. So how the Chachamim come along and ask it. But for our purposes, we brought in Legabe Shofar, and apparently it seems from Tosfos that Tosfos does not subscribe to this Taz Hayadua. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful day.
Can you hear me call it that in the Gemara, in our Gemara, Shofar, not being, the Chacham wouldn't be coming to uproot a mitzvah, they would just be saying that the woman can't go back to the husband.
Right.
It's not that they're not bringing any mitzvah. It's not like lulav or shofar that they're, you know, it's not going to be a mitzvah.
Right. But they're uprooting a pasuk though, because there is a pasuk that says that a woman who's forced is mutter. So you say they only won't uproot a biblical commandment. but a biblical permissibility that they're not as, you know, we have to understand why wouldn't they? By the, so okay, I hear there is a difference. By the way, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, regarding the halacha, that charging ribbis to a nachri, the Torah seems to say it's a mitzvah to charge ribbis to a nachri. The chachamim gave an iser drabanan under certain circumstances. So Rabbi Kiveger says, so you see that the chachamim could be oiker even something which is a mitzvah ktsas. So Kiveger says, whenever the prohibition is somewhat based upon biblical source, they could uproot a dairaisa. Lamaisa, according to that, this might be an answer. Why? Because maybe according to this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, David, you ready for this? Who's here? Ready? Chiddush Noira. The Gemara brought The Gemara actually brought a raya to Rava from Vehilai Nisbasa. Okay, we'll hold it over here, okay? We'll hold it here. Shkayach.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Very quickly, buddy.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.